Welcome, everybody, to the second episode of City Speak. I'm Clarence Anthony. I am so honored to have as our guest, our special guest, a person who is considered a leader in Georgia and, of course, recognized nationally as a leader in the area, in the space, representing cities, towns, and villages all over America. And that is my colleague, my friend, my boss, Mayor Vince Williams of Union City, Georgia. Hello, Mayor. How are you?
Clarence, hello. I am doing well. It is so good to be here. But it's exciting to be here on this second episode of City Speaks with all of our National League of Cities friends, families, neighbors, fans, whatever you want to call it, groupies, whatever. This is awesome, man. I mean, I've been so excited about doing this and so excited about making sure we get it done.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. You know, one of the things I find with municipal officials is that we really don't get to know who they are and how they became who they are. And today is about, yes, it's about cities and the issues that we're dealing with, the fact that small cities are important in America. But I also want to talk a little bit about your journey. I want to let the listeners first hear about how you sort of got here. And the mayor was elected Union City City Council in 2007, focusing on strong economic development and base for Union City. Just focused on trying to attract commercial businesses that's going to help transform the community financially. At that time, your priorities was making sure Union City's central district business area created jobs and workforce improvement, supporting education. But then you had a bigger vision that you could have that whole plan established for the entire city running for mayor in 2013. And since then, you've been able to reverse multi-year financial deficits to an 81% increase during your first year as mayor. And that is outstanding. I mean, you've dilapidated housing and malls that was in your community. You've been able to redevelop that area. And I've seen that myself because, y'all, I have visited the great city of Union City, Georgia. You've established a strong relationship and partnership between South Fulton and Metro Atlanta and other local governments, elevating Union City globally with your profile by participating in U.S.-China Exchange Association, U.S. business matching conferences. You know, you've invited leaders from Japan, China, Africa to invest in your city. But one of the things that's been outstanding for me, I've been able to watch you lead as the president of the Georgia Municipal Association. And now I've watched you as president of the National League of Cities. So I want to tell you, too, the audience needs to know that you serve as associate pastor at I Thrive Christian Church. And so all of these things, besides being a husband and father, all of these things make up who you are. And I have to first say, I'm so proud to be able to work with you every day at the National League of Cities. So welcome again to City Speak, Mayor.
Well, Clarence, thank you. You know, I mean, listening to your intro there, you know, it's quite humbling, you know, but I reflect on when I first got elected, but also most importantly, and certainly my time as a council member was vital to my growth and development, you know, as to become mayor, you know. But I do reflect back, you know, when I came in as mayor in 2013, I had less than $1 million to keep this city moving, you know, and a lot of folks don't understand, you know, I mean, a Metro Atlanta city, you know, with less than $1 million, we have our own police, fire, public services. You know, I have over 300 people who are dependent on my leadership as well as the council. And certainly we had to roll up our sleeves, tighten our belts, and get busy. And we have some amazing individuals on the team who have helped in making sure that the vision and the mission of Union City is being accomplished. you know, I say this and I laugh when I hear you say it because it is something I've said for a number of years. Union City, you know, we are a city out of the ruins. We are financially healthy. You know, I'm not saying that we're wealthy, but we're financially healthy. And when we talk about, you know, I did say I had less than $1 million, you know, to start this city as mayor. And I just adopted, we just adopted our 2023 budget two nights ago. And we're looking at over a $50 million budget that we're operating out of. You know, so that's quite a bit. And creating all of the economic development opportunities we're working on. We have created a R-Cubed initiative, which is our master plan, reclaim, renew, and reimagine Union City. And we're having fun doing that, creating connective trails throughout the city, but also bringing in other opportunities, you know, for the community that we serve each and every day. You know, what I do as mayor, Clarence, I have to say it is so closely related to what I do as a pastor. You know, it's creating opportunities for people who feel like they have no hope, they have no opportunities, and they just don't know where to turn. You know, so as an elected leader, it is my duty as mayor, you know, to make sure that we bring opportunities to the doorstep of people, you know, who feel like there's no one going to ring their doorbell or knock on the door. So we believe in, as Bruno Mars always says, leave the door open.
Well, that is one of those songs that you and I sang before at dinners and everything.
Yes, indeed.
Let me talk a little bit. I think the fact that you really grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, and really worked in so many spaces, but your professional background is largely in business and real estate. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to say, hey, I want to step up in Union City and help to transform this community? What inspired you one day to do that?
Well, I tell you, you know, I mean, just to give you a short snapshot, my start in Memphis, you know, I'm a professional political scientist by education, you know, so I've always had an interest in local government, but also in the political process. Wherever I planted my roots, I always wanted to make sure that I got engaged and involved with the local government to find out what was going on and also looking around for opportunity in the city that I lived in. And when I moved to Union City, you know, which I did spend some time in the city of Atlanta and didn't think that's where I wanted to be because of, you know, I thought it was, you know, a bit crowded for what I wanted to do, and found this place called Union City, which is 10 minutes south of the city of Atlanta. I get to still experience Atlanta each and every day. I'm in the space of Atlanta every day, but also being nestled in a city like Union City, you still have connectivity to the people and also, you know, the small town charm that it has. But, you know, as Union City continues to evolve, we are becoming much of that. We have that kind of city-centric vibe, you know, with what's going on here. We've created a lot of economic viability here in the city. But I tell you, Clarence, what has always attracted me to local government is you have a direct impact on the lives of people and being able to change the trajectory or the perspective of individuals who feel like, you know, I just need somebody to hear me. I need somebody to care. I need somebody who wants to have an opportunity, give me an opportunity. So we work with a lot of people day in and day out, you know, creating those spaces for them.
So as you talk about Union City has a population of about 20,000 people.
Let me correct you. Since the last census, Union City in all of Metro Atlanta, our population has grown over 40%. Since the last census, we are approaching 27,000 folks now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. Y'all going to be bigger than Atlanta one day.
So don't try to get more money off my dues now. But no, you know, we're excited about that. But what it says to Union City and also to the nation, you know, we are experiencing a lot of people that are migrating from your Californias, your Floridas, your New Yorks. They're coming to Atlanta, but they don't want to live in Atlanta. So they're migrating to cities like Union City and some of my other neighboring communities.
What do you think, as small city leaders are listening to this podcast, what do you think is the most challenging thing about leading a small city, but also what is the most rewarding thing?
One of the most challenging things that I would have to say for leaders is to not get in the way. Because oftentimes leading a small city, you feel like you don't matter. You know, I mean, you feel like, well, everybody's focused on Atlanta, and that's not true. You must get in front and lead. You know, I have often said to my team here in Union City, you know, yes, we're a small city, but we got to think big. And that's one of the things I've always done, you know, in everything that I do. I don't stop at, you know, what's comfortable. I go past that. We have to stretch ourselves. And when we're talking about changing the lives of people, changing the lives of education, changing the lives of those people who want to be small business owners, we must think big. And that is often a challenge for small town leaders because they feel like, you know, well, what I'm doing doesn't matter. It does matter. That's why those people are living there and they're expecting you to lead them. You're pretty much their Moses.
You know, I think I hear you often sort of talk about being in the shadow, if you will, of Atlanta.
Yeah.
But you have worked very hard to make sure that you look at properties like the dilapidated local mall that you had into your community and you turned it into a multi-million dollar studio.
Yeah.
I mean, what advice would you give to local leaders who are in small cities who want to forge a similar transformation and partnership? How do you do that?
Well, Clarence, what I can say to that is you can't wait always on opportunity. Sometimes you got to make it. You know, when that mall died in 2014, it was totally dead. You know, it was on resuscitation for a few years, you know, when I got elected in 2007 and I saw it dying. But once the mall died, you know, one of the things I noticed is that the film industry was headed to Georgia. And I said, this is an opportunity for us. Didn't know how it was going to happen. I do know that there were several opportunities where Tyler Perry and a number of others were engaged in the Fort McPherson property and looking at it becoming, you know, a major studio opportunity. So what I did, I got in touch with a couple of people who were in the running for that property. I said, look, Tyler is probably going to be the one who succeeds. I would love to show you a property that is nestled 5 minutes south of the airport, but also has connectivity to every major interstate node in the metro area. And we have the most undeveloped land anywhere in South Fulton and anywhere this close to a major airport. So they took me up on a lunch and a visit, and we walked the old mall. And as many say in the movies, the rest is history. Now we have Atlanta Metro Studios who, you know, they have done a number of film projects. You've seen The Walking Dead. You've seen Jumanji. I mean, I can't name all of the projects that they do. Currently, as we speak, they have 5-year contractual deals with Netflix, HBO, Showtime, Cinemax. And they do a lot of film projects. They do a lot of studio work. I mean, it's amazing. The individuals that are sometimes in the city that you may not even know are here doing work, you know, major A-listers, you know, it's just amazing. But what it's done for our community, it has uplifted our small business community. Because when you think about a major studio like that, they use the same things we do as an individual. They use the grocery store, the dry cleaners, the barbershops, the salons, the manicurists. So, but they use them on steroids. So it has been a huge uplift for our small business community to be able to work with those studios. I got several dry cleaners who were probably on their way out of business, but this has breathed new life into those businesses. So it has been a win-win, you know, for all of us, you know, and I know sometimes win-win sounds corny to people, but it has been an amazing opportunity for a lot of people who have been in Union City and wanted to call Union City their place of business, but also their home.
You know, Mayor, I mean, I had a vision probably like you as I was listening to you I think there should be a story about Mayor Vince Williams, Union City. And I want to play the younger and much thinner.
I don't blame you.
Rendition of you. But we both got bald heads and I wear glasses. So yeah. I'm just trying to say, man, I want to, I really would like to promote with Tyler Perry that we really talk about that story of Union yeah. City, because it's yeah. a story that so many other cities are looking for. And I think that what you've been able to do, there's so many things that we can talk about and elevate. And I want to congratulate you on that economic development. Since, let me ask you a question about being in public office.
Yeah.
What have you learned about local government that you didn't know, that you like, I'm going to run for office and I'm going to change this, I'm going to change that. And then you got in the role and you
and found that you couldn't change this and correct. You can't change that.
Yeah.
That's the eye opener for brand new entrants into the local government space. You have this thing in your heart and your mind. Look, I am going to be the superhero for this community and I'm going to do this and do that. And you find out, you know, there are laws and ordinances in place that keep you from doing those things you think you can do. But what you got to do is really get in there, learn the local government. First, learn your charter. Know what the charter says. You know, that's first and foremost. Then start building relationships. One of the things that I was key in doing, and I think it's vitally important, is, you know, first you got to build a relationship with your council colleagues. But beyond that, you got to make sure you build relationships with, you know, those other members of local government, the other cities, and also your county officials as well. And beyond that, the state. And what the National League of Cities has been so beneficial to me and my city is building those relationships with federal leaders, not just my delegation, but federal leaders from across the country. Because one of the things we must understand, we can't do anything that we want to do alone. And when you think about what we do, especially when you talk about infrastructure, broadband, you know, all of those types of things, and God forbid another COVID, you know, incident takes place, if you don't have relationships, you know, it is going to leave you at the back of the line, you know. So I think making sure that you develop and cultivate those relationships, it's not about party, it's not about race, it's not about gender. It's about what can we do collectively for the people that we serve. And when I say people we serve, you know, I have to give a reminder to a lot of local elected officials, as well as state and federal, that the people that elected you to go to Washington, D.C., are the same people you have to come home each and every week when you come home from D.C. taking care of business, and you look at them in the face. Now, the thing with local leaders, we see our people more often than they do. We see them at the gas station, the grocery store, the dry cleaner, you name it, we see them. And they always have a question for you. So you need to be ready to answer those questions for those folks.
You talk about your journey of learning and growing. You got involved in the Georgia Municipal Association. Clearly, you learned and networked there. And then you became president of the National League of Cities last year. And, you know, that's a big feat. I mean, because our members at the National League of Cities are Chicago, New York, Washington, D.C., and then there's Union City, Georgia, of 27,000 residents. And you are the voice and the face of cities throughout cities, towns, and villages throughout America. I mean, what would you say are the benefits of being engaged in National League of Cities for a small city leader? And what would you say to people about getting involved? What would your story be?
Well, I would tell you, Clarence, you do not only yourself, but your city a disservice if you are not participating and engaging in National League of Cities, in your state league. You know, it is very important to engage and be a part of the process, but also a part of the discussions that take place to be able to change policy, to be able to, when you think about the involvement that the National League of Cities had with our federal partners when it comes to the American Rescue Plan Act, that is a feat in itself. But I feel so proud to have been at the table with my National League of Cities team members, yourself and the federal advocacy team, Irma, and all of those folks, to be able to help change the trajectory, but also the livelihoods of people who felt like their lives were at stake, you know, once COVID hit. But also, you know, Clarence, you know, I didn't have in my mind, you know, once I joined the National League of Cities, because someone tried to talk me out of participating in the National League of Cities. And I'll say that, you know, but I'm one of those people, I have to find out for myself. And I joined the National League of Cities in 2008 after my first Congressional Cities Conference. And I have been a member ever since, but I never had it in my mind or even desired to be the president. Never thought I could, because of all of the Chicagos, the Los Angeles, the Detroits, the Philadelphias, all of those, you know, the Atlantas. You think those are the people that are going to be leading. But National League of Cities is one of those organizations that, you know, leans on everyone. If you have something to bring to the table, the National League of Cities is the place to be. And certainly, you know, one of the things that has been a huge humbling honor for me is to be the president of the National League of Cities, because it has opened up a wealth of opportunity for my city, not only Union City, Georgia, but for the Union Cities across the nation. You know, there are a number of cities called Union City. You know, it could be Union City, California, Union City, Tennessee, Union City, New Jersey, and now Union City, Georgia. But not only that, you know, other small cities across the country now feel like, well, if he can do it, I can do it. But part of doing it is being engaged in the various committees and policy councils to make sure that you're at the table of conversation to offer input. You know, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of work in what you do as a local leader. You know, now, first and foremost, my first priority is being the mayor of Union City, but certainly being a part of a state league, but also the National League, that's a huge lift. And I love what I do. I love what I do because I love people.
Mayor, thank you for that. And anybody that's around you can see that. They can feel that by the way, not only the way you act, but the way that you treat other individuals. And, you know, in my final question, I want to dig into that a little bit, because anyone that knows you that knows a big part of your life is serving as associate pastor at I Thrive Christian Church in Union City. Talk to me about how does your faith show up in your role as mayor, as a local leader?
Well, I have to say, first and foremost, my faith is at the front of everything that I do. You know, I was in the ministry before I became very involved and immersed in local government. So, but as I said earlier in the program, everything I do as mayor is connected to what I do as a pastor. You know, when you get up every day, you want to make sure that you're bringing glory to our Father in heaven. And part of bringing glory to God is being able to be selfless, you know, making sure that you're looking out for someone who feels like no one's looking out for them, making sure that you are clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, housing the homeless. You know, those are things that are important in my life and what I do each and every day to make sure that God gets the glory out of everything we do while we're here on earth. You know, so I tell you, it is just so amazing with what I do each and every day and have the opportunity to do each and every day as a mayor. It is so interwoven into ministry that it is like, it's not a heavy lift for me. It's not a heavy lift. And if you're in it for the right reason, you know, God is going to position you, but also position those around you to be able to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish, not only for yourself, but for those that you're serving. And we must remember that the people that we serve are God's people.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have been honored today to have Mayor Vince Williams, Union City, Georgia, as our second guest of City Speak with Clarence Anthony. And Mayor, I'm more inspired every day and honored every day to work with you, beside you, to be able to make our voice strong in this nation and city leaders as a pivotal part of making this nation a great place for every resident that live in this great country. I appreciate you and thank you so much for being here today.
Well, Clarence, I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity. I do want to share with everyone, one of the things that I think about every day before I hit the streets in Union City is we must remember to be somebody who makes everybody feel like somebody. And those are the things that I try to do each and every day. And Clarence, I want to challenge every member that's listening to this to tell at least 10 other members to take a listen, but also not just listen to this episode, listen to the very first one because it was amazing, but continue to listen to this podcast. You're going to get a lot of information from this, but also there are going to be some future greater individuals on this podcast. So I want the numbers to grow because this is another integral part of what NLC does. That is creating a space for us to continue to learn, but also strengthen us to be better leaders. So Clarence, to you and to everyone else, I love you. There ain't nothing you can do about it. I look forward to seeing everyone in Kansas City, Missouri, November 17th through the 19th. I can't wait to see you folks.
For City Summit 22, and the president again of the National League of Cities is Mayor Vince Williams of Union City, Georgia. We thank you, we love you, and really appreciate your commitment.
Thank you, Clarence. You take care.
You as well.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to City Speak with Clarence Anthony. If you like the show, let us know. Share this episode with your friends and make sure to subscribe. We're curious to hear what you think, what you want more of, and how we can improve. If you have feedback or an idea for a guest you'd like Clarence to sit down with, send us your thoughts at cityspeakpodcast@nlc.org. Join us next month for a new episode. Like and subscribe here or wherever you get your podcasts. See you next time.